a great day in the house of God. One more time, anyone thankful to be in church this morning on a Sunday morning? No place I'd rather be. In fact, would you do me a favor? Would you stand up to your feet for just a minute? Sorry, I know you just sat down, but I have to stand for like 30 minutes here. So I'm going to make you stand for like two. How about that? But hey, as was just said, things happen in the house of God that don't happen anywhere else. And I don't know maybe what brought you here this morning. I may not know your name, may not know your story, may not know your background, may not know how your week's gone, may not know what you're facing right now in your life. But I may not know your name and your story, but I do know Jesus. And I know his story and I know his word. And I know that his story is more than enough for your story today, for whatever you need. So this morning we've gathered as a church from all different kinds of backgrounds, all different kinds of situation, but there's one thing that unifies us, and that is the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. Is anyone thankful for Jesus in your life? Anyone thankful that he met you, that he found you, that he rescued you? And, you know, there's hope in the word for us this morning. This morning, I asked you to stand because I just want you to prepare your hearts for the word this morning. I know it's so easy sometimes in church to come in distracted, or to come in casual. I'm tempted to do it just like everybody else. But I really believe that God has a word for someone this morning. This morning we're going to talk on battles that we face. And we're going to talk about some of the tough stuff in life. And this morning you may be here on top of a mountain. And that's awesome. But in a very real sense, there's probably people here this morning who are facing a really tough battle in your life. Maybe you feel like you're walking through a low valley today. Whatever the case may be, I feel like God's given me a word for someone in the house today. A word of perspective, a word that'll help you to really see Jesus in what you're facing. So if you would, with me today, wherever you're at, would you just take a minute? Everyone that would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Would you even consider lifting up your hands to Jesus? And right now, would you just prepare your heart? Would you just do some business with God? Say, Lord, we're here today. We're ready, Father. We're ready for you to speak. God, I love your word. I thank you what happens when your word is open. I thank you that lives are changed. I thank you that stories are rewritten. The hearts are transformed. And so this morning, God, we prepare our hearts. We're expectant. We're ready to receive a word from you. I ask that you would talk to us. I ask that you would use my very imperfect words to deliver your perfect word directly into the season, directly into the heart of someone who needs to hear it today. Father, I pray that I would get out of the way now so that you can have your way. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do in this place. In Jesus' awesome and mighty name, all God's people said a big amen. Amen. All right, now you can take your seats and thank you very much for my romantic music there. That's awesome. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. I am so excited for church this morning. On a personal note, this is my first Sunday back in the groove from an almost four-week break. In June, I crossed the line of 18 years in ministry, which is, you know, an accomplishment in some ways, and in some ways, you know, a lot of people have been in the game a lot longer than me, but yet my family, we took some time over the last few weeks to get away, and how many of you know it's good to do that from time to time? In fact, your pastors are away this morning, and they send their greetings, and so you have a substitute teacher here this morning, I guess, so be good, be nice, behave, if you will. I love your pastors so much. Anyone thankful for Pastors Donnie and Sonia, that God saw fit to plant you in this house with them as your leaders? I love them so much. I love their family. I've been praying for them, praying that they're away, getting refreshed and getting restored and ready for the second half of the year. If I do look like a little overly tan right now, it is because I came off of my own break the last few weeks. So anyways, I am fired up and ready for church this morning, and I'm believing that God is going to speak something to all of us. Isaiah chapter 54. Are you there this morning? Turn or click in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 54. This morning, I have maybe a bit of a different word than I would normally bring on a Sunday morning. This is, when you travel in ministry, oftentimes God gives you a word for a season, and you share that a lot of places. This is a freshie, though. This is like, I just jotted down these thoughts. They are very imperfect, but this is coming out of just a season I feel like I've been in the last couple years, and I pray it'll just give you perspective for something you might be facing. So let me just kind of wrestle through this morning. Isaiah chapter 54, in verse 2, it says this: enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. How many of you in this room this morning, you would believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? How many of you, you would say in Jesus, you have found a greater purpose for your life than maybe would have existed? I don't know maybe your story this morning, but what I do know today is if you are alive and you are breathing, you are marked with purpose by our God. And I believe that God has so much more for us in life. I believe that if you're here this morning, and if Jesus is your Lord, that you have a hope on the inside of you, that God has big things he wants to do in your life. You may have been an accident to your parents, but you certainly weren't an accident to our God. He knew you, he created you, he formed you, he predestined you for something great. He has something in you, something on you that he wants to do. And this word in Isaiah 54 is coming to the nation of Israel at a time where they have just been delivered from captivity. They're returning to Jerusalem, of course, the capital, the city that represents so much of the story of God and God's plan. And this is the word of the Lord coming to them, that God had more for them. But then Isaiah 54 takes an interesting turn. Isaiah 54, if you read down in verse 17... starts to talk about weapons and battles. In fact, Isaiah 54:17 is that verse many of us would know very well. No weapon formed against you will prevail. You will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. There's an interesting dichotomy in our faith. There's an interesting tension that exists in our faith. And that's the tension that God has great things for us, that God is our provider, that God is our defender, that God has big plans. He created you on purpose for such a time as this. So it's like he has this really big plan for you. But in the middle of this really big plan that God has for all of us, how many of you know, as believers, we will face battles. We will face tough situations. There's this line of thinking that I understand where it comes from, but it's not helpful. There's this line of thinking that says, if I'm a good person, nothing bad should ever happen to me. Or Christians, we Christianize it and we say, if I love Jesus, nothing bad should ever happen to me. We question God on this. We say, God, why do bad things happen to good people? Anyone ever heard that? And we somehow have connected the fact that if I'm a Christ follower, I should live a pain-free life. I should live a battle-free life. But the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And the presence of problems in your life does not mean the absence of God. In fact, I want to advocate for a thought for you this morning. I want to advocate for this thought that maybe the presence of problems in your life is an opportunity for God to come and do something in your life in a way he never could have if the problem didn't exist. That maybe, just maybe, the battles that we face in life are not just because God's mad at us, not because we've sinned, not because, you know, God's an angry God or he's a mean God. None of those things are true. What if, I'm just proposing this morning, what if the battles come so that our all-sufficient God can show off his power and his strength and we can know our God in a new way than we did before? So I want to talk about the battles that we face in life. The battles of life are won on the inside and not on the outside. God is more interested in who you are becoming than what you are doing. Let me say that again. God is more interested in who you are becoming than what you are doing. The greatest threat to the enemy is a healthy church, healthy believers. In fact, it is my personal conviction that revival, you know, we use that term in church, revival. It is my personal conviction that what revival will look like in our generation is healthy lives and healthy families living from a place where I've been set free, like we were just talking about a minute ago. Shame gone, shackles gone. I really believe that's what the move of God's Spirit looks like here on the earth. But I believe to get us there, sometimes we have to face some battles. Sometimes we have to face some tough stuff. A couple years ago, I found myself in my own battle. And it was a whopper. It was not one I saw coming. You know, life was good. Ministry was good. I have an amazing family. I have an amazing church. I mean, all signs pointed to good. But I found myself in a season where I wasn't good on the inside. I thought we were running fast, we were running strong. You know, we were going for it. We were all in for ministry, all in for Jesus, all in for the things of God. And yet, I found myself in a season where God brought me against some battles. And I believe that God does this not because he's mad at us, but I believe he does it in his kindness because he wants to take us further, because he wants to take us into a new place. So if you're facing a battle today, I want to, I guess, just talk about maybe the different kinds of battles we will face in hopes that it will give you perspective to show you Jesus even in the middle of the battle, Jesus even in the middle of the storm. You see, God never said the weapons wouldn't form against you. He just said they wouldn't prosper against you. But he never said they wouldn't form. The Lord never asked us to feel strong. He just asked us to be strong. But he never asked us to feel it. And sometimes the moments of the greatest victory in your life are going to come out of the toughest battles. The places where life doesn't make sense, where things come crashing down around you, where questions are bigger sometimes than it seems like the answers are. Here's one thing I found in Isaiah chapter 54 that I just thought was so interesting. We all know Isaiah 54:17. It says, "This no weapon formed against you will prosper." I call this a Hobby Lobby verse. Anyone know what a Hobby Lobby verse is? It's where you go to Hobby Lobby and you buy the little plaque, you know, and you hang it like on your bathroom or something, and like, no, like we love that verse, don't we? No weapon formed against you will prosper. It's a great verse. It's a life verse. The problem is we don't know two verses before that. Context is everything in the Word of God. Look at Isaiah 54:16. I'm sorry, one verse before it. Isaiah 54:16. Look what it says. The prophet Isaiah says this. "See, it is I." This is the Lord talking, God talking. "It is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. It is I," this is God, like our loving, gracious, good God. "It is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc." Okay, this is a problem. If our God is loving and our God is good, how could our God, this is basically God saying, "I created the blacksmith who forged the weapon that formed against you." That's a problem. It's an interesting thing. It's almost like God is saying, I didn't create the weapon, but I allowed the weapon to form against you. It's just my promise to you that the weapon may have formed, but it will not prosper. You see, adversity plays a very critical role in our faith life. We love the good moments of our faith life. We love the mountaintop moments of our faith life. But adversity plays a very critical role. You know, this is the story of Job. Think of the story of Job. Job, you know, was given the opportunity by God to be tested by the enemy. God allowed. God didn't take everything away from Job like we know his story, but God allowed the enemy to. He just said, you can't take his life. You can take everything away from him, but you can't take his life. And why is that? Why does God allow? This is very interesting to me. Why does God allow adversity in, battles in? I believe he wants to show us his strength and his power in a way we never would have known it had the battle or the weapon been formed against us. But it says this, the weapon formed against you will not prevail. You will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You can know that as a Christ follower, if you're experiencing adversity, if you're experiencing something tough, the weapon may have formed, but the weapon will not prosper against you. This is your heritage as a Christ follower, as a son and daughter of God. If the weapon forms against you, it will not prosper against you, because greater is Jesus in you than he that is in the world. That is our heritage as believers. So I believe in life we face three different battles. If you're taking notes, you can write this down today. I believe we face three very specific battles. Maybe you're in one of these. Maybe you know someone that is. Maybe write these down, because if you're not in a battle, you hate to say it, you may have one coming around the corner. The first battle we face are what I would call personal battles. Personal battles. These are the battles where God brings you against yourself. These battles are often identity battles. These are battles of truly knowing the Lord. For these three points, I'm going to use the life of David as an example, and I'm going to show you in his life how David, in a very critical season of his development, as David was coming on the scene strong for the nation of Israel, David faced three key battles. And we see David's personal battles in 1 Samuel 16 and 1 Samuel 17. David was overlooked by his own father. On the day where the prophet came to anoint the next king, can you imagine being David? And David's out in the sheep pen. He's out in the field tending sheep, because that is what he had been asked to do. So think about it. He is doing the right thing. He's honoring his father. He's out tending the sheep. The prophet Samuel comes and asks Jesse to line up all of his sons, and his own dad forgets him. His own dad lines up all of his sons, and Samuel's so confused, because he's trying to hear from God, and God's saying, no, this son's not the next king. This son's not the next king. This son's not the next king. And finally, Samuel has to look at David's dad, at Jesse, and say, do you have any more sons? I mean, I know that, like, we've all been guilty of, like, maybe, like, forgetting our kid, maybe at the grocery store or something, or, like, at church. Like, maybe one parent, you know, you're here, and, like, you both go home, and you both think you have the kid, and neither. I mean, like, we all have those moments, but we're talking about a key critical moment here where a national leader shows up at your door and asks for all of your sons, and you forget the littlest and the least son. And so David was overlooked by his own father while he was out being faithful, doing what he was supposed to be doing. On this day, of course, Jesse called him in and David was anointed as the next king, but then what did he do? He returned straight out to the sheep pens, straight out to the place that represented his faithfulness, his obscurity, the place of development in his life. No doubt, David wrestled through personal battles, being overlooked, being mistreated, you know, having to be faithful over someone else's property. God brought David against himself because he knew that the pressures of what were ahead of him, the pressures of being king, the pressures of leading a nation, David was going to need a certain level of character on the inside of him. And so God sent him to a sheep pen. He sent him to a sheep field to let him develop, to work some things out of him. He faced some personal battles because God knew he would need that level of, that depth of character in the future for what he had for him. I wonder what your personal battles are this morning. I know for me, the thing that God brought me against a couple years ago when I was walking through my own funk, my own stuff, was God began to reveal to me that I was dealing with heavy amounts of shame from my life, from past mistakes. I was dealing with distraction. God led me through this season where he brought some things to the surface in me, personal battles, identity battles, because he knew that what was ahead for me, he was going to need to work those things out. If you're facing a personal battle right now, can I just encourage you, let the Lord into that space. Realize that just like David being overlooked by his own dad, David having to be faithful even when no one noticed, if you're facing a personal battle, God sees where you're at. God knows where you're at. And I would challenge you with this thought: work for the reward of the Lord rather than favor of man. During my own season of working stuff out, I realized I was an extreme people pleaser. I had to break the bond of being held hostage to other people's opinions of me, other people's value of me. I believe there's territory in all of us that God wants to take. There's a new place that God wants to take us, and so he's going to have to work some things out on the inside of us by way of personal battles. The second type of battle that we'll face is what I would call public battles. Public battles. Different than personal battles, which are often private, especially when you're going through them. Public battles are battles that are well known by the people around you. Battles that God will allow you to face in a public way, public adversity, in order to show off his power and raise you up. Of course, in the life of David, this is 1 Samuel 17, David facing the giant called Goliath. God used a very public situation, a very public adversary, in order to raise David up and set him on the trajectory. He was already anointed as king, but God used this battle to set David on the trajectory of gaining hearts and influence. Of course, David was one of the great national leaders of God's people, of the Israelites. It was the one time in their history where the nation of Israel has been totally united in Scripture under David's leadership. God knew that that was ahead of David, and so he needed a very public battle to raise him up. This, for you, could come in the form of maybe a family struggle. Maybe it's a medical diagnosis that you didn't ask for, you didn't expect. Maybe it's a situation at work, something that is known by the people around you. I'm just proposing the question, could it be that God allowed that weapon to form because he wants to show off his power in that situation, because he wants to show off his goodness in that situation? The battle of David facing Goliath was one where David came against him in the name of the Lord, where David faced impossible odds and in one shot took down a giant. And of course, the nation realized who God was and his promises to their nation. And I'm just advocating this morning for this thought. could it be the battle you're facing is so God can show off his power and his glory in your life in the form of a public battle? The third and final battle I think we will face in our lives is what I would call private battles. Private battles. You might say, Brandon, you already covered this. Personal battles. This is a bit different. And this one's going to need some explaining, so hear me out on this. Private battles. These are the battles where God does a different kind of work. A work that is very unseen and a work that should remain unseen. These are battles that are private, that are supposed to stay private, because if they were made public, they would discredit other people. This is 1 Samuel 18. After Goliath, the Bible says that people were dancing in the streets, saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Can you imagine being Saul? Saul, you're the current king, but this young guy who's anointed to be the next king is now gaining the hearts and influence over the whole nation. People are running through the streets singing this new guy's praises. The Bible says that Saul was infected with an evil spirit. And Saul began to come against David. Saul began to attack David. David spent years on the run because Saul was trying to take his life, was trying to take him out. The enemy always tries to take new things out in their infancy. And in the infancy of David's, you know, influence, in the infancy of David's kingship, Saul was trying to take him out. Can you imagine your own leader coming against you? Can you imagine your own leader persecuting you? Your own leader mistreating you? And then the question is, well, what do you do about that when your own leader mistreats you? We live in a world right now where so many people, when they see a leader misusing authority, or they see a leader overlooking them, or they feel mistreated by someone in authority. We live in this culture right now that's a culture of protest and a culture of offense, a culture of I'm going to stand up to the man. And I want to advocate for something this morning that culturally that's allowed, but biblically God's word offers us a better way forward. You see, David, when he was persecuted by Saul, when Saul was coming after him to take his life, Saul was in the wrong. David was anointed as the next king. And to add injury to insult here, this is Old Testament. This is not the nice, kind New Testament. This is the R-rated Old Testament here. This is eye for an eye culture. In other words, in the Old Testament, if someone throws a spear at you, you get to throw it back. This is pre-Jesus, by the way. You get to throw the spear back, but that's not what David did. When his own leader was mistreating him, when his own leader was coming against him, David didn't throw the spear back. David honored his leader. He kept it private, and he ran the other way. He basically said, if I honor my leader, God will honor me. If he would have brought it up, if he would have made a public spectacle of it, keep in mind he has the influence of the whole nation. If he would have brought it up, he would have discredited the current king. And so David kept it private. David did the integrous thing. He was a forerunner of Christ. He turned the other cheek and he ran. And by doing so, he honored his leader. There's another thing happening in our culture right now where people are taking to social media things in a public way that should remain private. So many arguments and conversations happening in a public space like Facebook and Instagram So many things going public that were actually meant to remain private and be dealt with privately. And when private things are dealt with publicly, it actually causes collateral damage on everybody. Think about this one. We all know someone who's left a church. And it's just like it. Whenever someone leaves a church, it seems like 3 days later on Facebook, a post shows up, some spiritual sounding quote saying, "Don't be controlled by anyone." You ever see one of those? Or do whatever in your heart to do, and these well-sounding posts come up. You know good and well that person is posting out of frustration and hurt and anger. And then you get a whole bunch of people liking it, commenting it, saying amen. And we have a whole generation come up that has no idea what they're liking, no idea what they're praising, no idea what they're aligning with when people are taking something public that should remain private. I'm not talking about covering things up. I'm not talking about dishonesty. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about dealing with battles in the space they're intended to be deal with. We have a whole generation right now. It's dealing with things in a very public way that should remain private. In 1 Samuel 24, to bring this to a close, in 1 Samuel 24, we see David. David's on the run. David comes upon Saul one day. Saul's asleep. David has the opportunity to take Saul's life. He could have taken his life, ended the madness, and assumed the throne that he was already anointed for. Remember, this is the Old Testament. This is eye for an eye. It could seem like an easy setup for David. Take Saul's life, take the throne, the madness is over and done with. But what did David do? Did David do that? No. David stopped his men from touching Saul, and he said this line, "How could you touch the Lord's anointed?" A few moments later, when Saul wakes up and David is a safe distance away on a nearby hillside, Saul wakes up, David's shouting at him, basically saying, "I spared your life. I could have taken your life, but I spared your life." And then David says this line, and this has become a life verse for me. David said, "As surely as I have honored you, so may the Lord honor me and deliver me from all trouble." Sometimes we're trying to win private battles in a public way when they should remain private, and we need to trust that God's our defender. That God is the one that sees. God is the one that knows. And when you deal with battles and you deal with people in an integrous way, I believe that God will come as your defender and he'll show up and he'll invade that situation in a way that only he could have done. I wonder what battle you're facing right now. Maybe it's a struggle with a leader, a person in authority. The worship team can come. By the way, you guys are awesome. Maybe it's a struggle at home with a parent or a sibling. Maybe it's a struggle with your health. I don't know what battle you're facing today. Maybe I've named your battle today. Maybe I haven't. I just wanted to advocate for the thought today that the battle's in your life not because God's mad at you, not because you've done something wrong, not because, you know, you're away from God. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. I believe that the battles come so that God can show off his power. When we let God in, when we invite Jesus to come and take the throne and fight for us. I don't know about you, sometimes when I'm facing a battle, I can just feel so weak. It can feel so big. It can feel so tough. It can feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders right now. What I've learned is that God is way, way bigger than I ever gave him credit for. That our God is way stronger than I ever gave him credit for. That sometimes, you know, we act with all diligence, but sometimes it's just a matter of turning the battle over to the Lord and saying, God, I'm trusting today that the battle is the Lord's. I'm trusting you today, God, that you are my victor, that you are my champion, and this may be too hard for me, but this isn't too hard for you. Sometimes in battles, we're so tempted to compare ourselves to the size of the battle, compare ourselves to the size of the adversary. But I'll tell you where true perspective comes and true victory comes is not when you compare yourself to the size of your adversary, but you compare your adversary to the size of your God. And you remind yourself that the same God that did it for David, the same God that showed up all throughout his word, is the same God that's here in our hearts and our lives today. The same God that's able to win the battle for us today. I want to close by reading 1 Samuel 17. David's facing Goliath. David's staring down a very real battle. And I just want you to, if you would just maybe close your eyes, wherever you're at this morning, would you just receive this into your heart? Would you just receive this into your life today? Hear these words of faith from someone, from David, who is staring down the foe of a lifetime. Listen to what he says. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Father, today I pray for every single person, every single family in this house this morning. I pray over every situation and every story. I thank you, Father, that we don't face battles on our own, that you know our story and you know what we're facing. You know our story intimately. In fact, there's a very real possibility that you opened the door, you allowed for these things to happen. It's not because you're mad at us. It's not because you're distant from us. It's because you love us and you want to take us further. You want to show us your strength. You want to show us your goodness. You want to show us your glory. And so this morning, Father, I pray for any single person in this room that's facing a battle. I pray, Father, that perspective from heaven would be theirs today in the name of Jesus. I pray today, God, that anyone that's in a storm or anyone that's in a battle, I pray that they would see you in it today, Jesus. I pray that they would know you still sit on the throne, that you're still good. Your promises are still good. Your word is not void. Your promises are yes and amen over our lives today. I pray that would be our perspective. That would be our hope. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In fact, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anyone in the room today and you're facing a battle, maybe I've named it, maybe I haven't, but you're facing a battle, you're facing something tough, you just need God to come. Like you feel like your back's up against a wall. You feel like the situation's impossible. Can I just remind you today that our God is the God of the impossible? Impossible is where God does his best work. Impossible is the place where God shows off his glory. So if you're facing something tough and you just want prayer this morning, you say, "Brandon, include me. Like I need God to show up in my battle, in my situation." Anyone around the room, would you just be so bold as to raise your hand and let me see who you are today? Someone say, I want to give my battle to the Lord today. In Jesus' name. Do me one more favor. Would you stand to your feet? If you raised your hand, would you stand to your feet? All over the room. Just be so bold. Come on, this is our confidence today. I just feel the presence of God so strong in this room this morning. In Jesus' name. If someone's around you, we just begin to pray for them right now. Would you just extend your hands towards someone around you? If you're standing, would you lift up your hands to the Lord? Realize this is our posture. This is the place that we fight from today. We don't fight with natural sword and spear. No, we fight in the name of the Lord. Our strength is not our own. Our strength is from the Lord today. Father, I thank you today. I thank you that you know every story. You know every battle. You know the weight of it. Jesus, you're not a high priest that doesn't sympathize. No, you know the struggles that we face. You know the battles that we face. And this morning, Father, I thank you that the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. I thank you today that you are our victor. I thank you that you are our champion. I thank you today that you are the one in whom we have victory. So we surrender the battle to you. We relinquish our responsibility. We relinquish our attempts, Father, to win on our own. And we ask that you would come, that you would fill in every gap, that you would show off your power, that you would show off your strength. I pray, Father, that this would be a moment for your glory to show up, your power to show up in our lives today in the name of Jesus. I come against the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Any enemy, any power that has set itself up against us, I thank you that the heritage of the people of the Lord is one that the battle, the weapon may form, but the weapon will not prosper. We stand firm on the promises of the Word of God today. And I declare that greater is Jesus in us than he that is in the world. So Satan, you're defeated. The battle is won today. The battle is the Lord's. We declare it as such in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you all stand to your feet with me this morning, anyone?